HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Hello there and welcome along to the HR Headquarters podcast. My name is Andrea Hayes and I'm delighted to be speaking to Amy Gibney today from the Irish Hospice Foundation. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. The first
question I'm going to ask you is to tell me a little bit about yourself, Amy, and your role with the Irish Hospice Foundation.
Perfect. And thanks, Andrea, for having me on the podcast today. It's lovely to have the opportunity to join you and to talk a little bit about our Grief in the Workplace programme here. So just to say, the Irish Hospice Foundation are the national charity in Ireland for dying, death and bereavement. So our vision would be that everybody has the chance to die well, but also grieve well. So my role is I oversee the Grief in the Workplace programme. So a big part of my job is supporting workplaces in all aspects of grief in the workplace. So, you know, you might automatically assume that it's just training or capacity building, but we also kind of, you know, we do a lot of communications work, research, policy work, and we also advocate for bereavement leave because we, you know, we work with our advocacy team on that because there's no statutory bereavement leave in Ireland at the moment. So it'll be up to each organisation and their policy. And we would support organisations on the phone as well if they need support. Sometimes, sadly, in the aftermath of a death or a traumatic incident. So that kind of sums up my job as quick as I can, trying to be brief.
And I think, Amy, you hit on a lot of important issues there, but understanding grief is so important because it is a little bit of a taboo area. You know, people are often afraid to talk about it. So just maybe talk us through why grief in the workplace is such an important piece to understand for HR professionals.
Yeah, and actually, the other thing I forgot to mention just there about what we do is we operate within a framework, and it's a bereavement care pyramid. It's sort of a public health model. And what we would say is there's four levels of the pyramid, but at level one is where workplaces are. So if people can get the right acknowledgement, compassion and support within their community and their workplaces and their family context, most people can and do manage in that way. But if you have higher level of needs, say, you know, your grief is maybe related to a death by suicide, something traumatic, maybe baby loss, sometimes we can't get that support in our immediate environment. So we might go to kind of peer support groups in the community. And then there's the higher level of care where it might be, you know, support from a counsellor, and particularly for people with more complex needs. So just to say there, you know, you hit on something there about, you know, what is grief. And I suppose the important thing to recognise is that grief is the reaction to the event. So a bereavement is the event, but also a loss of any kind can be the event. So, you know, with things like fertility loss in the workplace, you know, loss through change, loss through menopause, loss through illness, you know, these are all the things that would cause a grief reaction. And when we think of grief in the workplace, we think of what we would be going in and educating people on would be, you know, personal losses and personal deaths. But also then you've people working in a professional capacity that deal with grief as part of their work. So, you know, we recently did a survey called Time to Reflect after COVID, and a lot of healthcare workers answered the survey. It was for the public, but, you know, a lot of them said that they still remember what they had to go through during that time. So it's the importance of supporting people through that. And finally, I'll just say a colleague's death. Because if you lose somebody in the workplace, that also comes with its own kind of differences and kind of supports that need to be in place.
It seems like it's such a huge area, Amy. And I'm just thinking, you know, how can companies support their employees through grief? And what communication approach is needed from your expertise and for all the research that you're doing? I'm probably talking to a lot of companies about this specific area. What are you finding is helpful for companies?
Well, I think the first thing is to recognize that grief is unique. So, you know, it isn't linear or phase based. And we tend to think of the five stages of grief, but actually, we now know that grief doesn't happen in stages. We can't neatly package it away. So it's not just about the support in the immediate aftermath of a bereavement or a loss. It's about that long term piece. And in terms of communication, we have a model called the acknowledge, validate and support. So it's sort of it's a communications model, essentially. And what that does is, as a very first thing, is to acknowledge the loss for somebody, depending on obviously how much they might want people to know. But then it's validate. So that's things like really listening to what they're saying, you know, not being judgmental. So, you know, for one person, the death of their pet can cause such a significant impact, and another person who might not understand that needs to try and walk in their shoes for a moment. You know, it's really important not to try and provide solutions. We're hardwired to want to give solutions, you know, saying things like, oh, well, look, I'm at least your mother lived a good long life. That actually sort of disenfranchises or, you know, minimizes a person's experience. So the best thing to do is really acknowledge, you know, validate, say things like, look, Andrea, I'm really sorry to hear what you've been through. Your mum, Mary, sounded like a wonderful person. Use the person's name. Mm-hmm. And I think importantly, you can never upset someone by asking them how they are in the aftermath of a death. If they get upset, they needed to be upset. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think people do remember if somebody ignored that, you know. And also, you can ask someone in your own time. I would say we don't all have to rush to the person on the first day back. You can ask them in their own time. And communication is just one element. So if you don't mind, if I just explain to you what I mean by that. So mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time we think, oh, we need to figure out how to communicate with bereaved employees. But we did a recent piece of research which will be available soon, and it's a position paper on why grief in the workplace is so important and what you can do about it. And we researched many studies on grief in the workplace, and also used workplace health promotion literature, you know, from the World Health Organization and Healthy Ireland. And what we found is there's four key areas, and this is important for HR professionals. So it's the environment, which is the culture, and the physical environment. You know, something as simple as, is there somewhere for the person to go when they get back to work? Because you've got to make a lot of personal calls or practical calls when you're bereaved. Is the culture compatible with grief? You know, do you support employee well-being? Do you allow employees to bring their full selves to work? Then you have the practices. So are people working from home? How do we support them? When somebody comes back after a bereavement, how do we support them in the short term? But how do we offer them flexibility, you know, autonomy and trust in the long term to get their job done while also trying to manage the grief? And then we talk about people. So that would be, you know, capacity building training, which is what we offer through our program. So just training people on what matters, and then also behaviours. Because if you're in a workplace where maybe certain behaviours are condoned, where, you know, if there's bullying in the workplace or stigma around certain things, it's very hard to talk about your loss, you know. And then governance, which I know the HR people will be interested in, but that's the health and safety piece, because it falls within the health and safety legislation to protect your employees from harm. So it's not only the right thing to do, it's the legal thing to do. So I hope I summarised that well.
No, absolutely. And I think what you're doing is bringing this into a safe space to talk about it in the workplace. And it's okay for people to say, you know what, we need to do a culture check here and a policy review, perhaps.
Absolutely.
And if you're kind of thinking, maybe, you know, Amy said a few things there that we need to be aware of. What would be your advice for the next steps on how to make sure that we're really supporting staff to the best of our abilities?
Well, first of all, what I would say is if you do it right, the workplace can provide and we spoke about this the other day, Andrea, it's a healing setting. You know, it provides routine. You've access to social support. We all go to work sometimes and we can get away from some of the problems happening within our lives, you know, and loss is an inevitable challenge for pretty much the majority of us. So I think the main thing would be to, if I was to think of a next action after this, it would be to look at grief as part of your well-being program. So it's not just about arranging a training. It's about how do we embed this into the organization, and HR professionals have that kind of influence. How do I make the case to my employer that we really need to invest in this? Because honestly, if you don't invest in it, you're actually kind of doing yourself a disservice, because if you're worried about giving employees leave and the cost of that, if you bring people back too early, they're going to suffer sometimes from something called presenteeism, where you're in work but you're not meaningfully engaged with your job because you're obviously have so much going on. And grief is such an important thing. It's such a big thing. So I suppose just looking at how you embed it into your overall program of work, like that, you're getting your bereavement policy in order. If you don't have one, people can get in touch with myself. We can send you resources, arranging training, but also looking at your culture, looking at the psychosocial environment. And the Health and Safety Authority have really good resources on that as well.
And one of the things, Amy, that strikes me is that you mentioned it briefly, is that grief affects everybody differently. It's not a linear piece. There's not stages that we can say, OK, they've done one, now they'll go to two. Somebody might come back quickly and then it will affect them a year later, or somebody might need to take time. So I suppose you're dealing with the whole person, and everybody is an individual, and you really have to have that empathy and that listening ear to each person. So it's quite a tricky area to manage and get right, I suppose.
Absolutely. And you summed it up there. You know, it's the whole person and everybody is different. And one of the things that we would teach within our workplaces and when we're building awareness is that there are a number of factors that feed into that. So, you know, everybody is a different type of person. They have different coping skills. They have different experiences with loss. You may have had loss at an early age in your life. You know, we think of loss through the life cycle, you know, so when you're at a certain age, you might be experiencing miscarriage, infertility, neonatal loss, you know, loss of a job or loss of a career, you know, loss is experienced through change as well, you know. And then as you get older, you know, a lot of people, employees in their 50s and their 60s might be caring for a parent. So they're sort of living with loss, especially if you're caring for somebody. And then as you yourself get older, loss you'll experience in your own life through transition. So what was the question again, just so I'm making sure I answered it?
No, I think you're mentioning that it's really looking at each individual is different. Yeah. And you can't, it's not like this one shoe fits all, which may make this policy difficult for certain companies. They might think, oh, this is, we really want to get it right. And I suppose if they want to get it right, it may take a bit of time, you know, to really understand what grief is and loss.
Exactly. And I think a really important thing is, obviously, a policy means that, you know, you want to have an equal approach in how you treat employees. But at the same time, and particularly with your grief policy and probably your mental health in the workplace policy, you need to allow managers to have a certain amount of flexibility within that. Because, like you said, everybody's response is different. You have the instrumental griever that might, you know, kind of grieve through action and need to get back to work immediately. You have the intuitive griever that might need to express emotion and be allowed to do that within the workplace. So you do need to be quite adaptable with this, and you need to recognize a year on, you know, somebody can just, it can be the anniversary of somebody, you can be triggered by a memory, you can just get out of bed that day and be remembering the person. But if you can really acknowledge that and give your employee flexibility at that time, the likelihood is you're actually building their resilience around that. Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing just to say is, we have a model called the loss coping model, and I can send you a video on this, but people need to move between being with the loss and then on the other side of it, restoring themselves and not feeling guilty about that. So being able to actually either proactively distract yourself because you need to distract, or you're just doing that because you have to get on with everyday life tasks. But equally, you need to allow your employee to move back to that lost space because they need to express themselves if they want to.
That sort of pendulum piece, isn't it? I mean, if you were to stay in the loss, you just couldn't live, but then you have to move into work. So you could have good weeks and bad weeks, and it's exactly, just to be sensitive to that while people are working through. You mentioned about your research that you recently carried out, and it was evidence-based research. You might tell us a little bit about that and just explain grief in the workplace what you were finding, and were you surprised by some of the research? I know it hasn't been released yet, and it will, yeah. And we can really delve into it. But just what kind of was the impetus to kind of carry out that research?
So when I came into the role here, my background was actually primarily mental health promotion. So we were looking at the programme again, and in order to do that and do it right, we needed to gather all of the evidence. So what we did is I looked at a number of different studies, and basically it's making the case for grief in the workplace support and helping people in their organisation to make that case. So we looked at a number of bereavement studies, health promotion frameworks in the World Health Organization, and applied that to grief. And, you know, there weren't really many surprises, except I suppose the legal implications for people to really care, the health and safety things that you might not consider, like coming back to work and if somebody's operating kind of dangerous machinery, or even if they're driving as part of their job, to sit down and ask them, are they able for this? You know, how, because we know that concentration is impacted, mistakes happen, and there's plenty of studies right now in the UK and Japan that are looking at the cost of presenteeism to the economy. And then it was through that research that we identified those four terms, environment, people, practices and governance themes, I should say, mm-hmm. themes. And that's what we based our training on. And then also to support the research, we conducted interviews with staff in our own organisation and outside of our organisation on what they need in terms of good grief support. Because like you said, everybody's different. And you also want to account for the fact that not everybody will grieve the traditional Irish way if your ethnicity is different. You know, mm-hmm. some people are religious, others aren't. And so you want to make sure that your policy is in line with your equality and diversity policies as well. So I think probably the shock was that it was a lot longer than we expected it to be, so we don't expect people to read it all, but we've made recommendations for employers, which includes HR staff, and for policymakers, because we want this embedded into workplace policy as well.
And it's just really good practice. I mean, I just heard you saying the environment, you know, looking at the environment, the physical environment, the unseen environment, then the people, how are the employers, how are the managers, mm. how's the conversation in the office, the practices, what practices do we have? And then the governance. I mean, there's four strong pillars there yeah. that you really need to take a bit of time yeah. to make sure that we're just not focusing on the governance or, you know, the people, and not looking at the environment and the practices as well. So with all of that great wisdom that you've gained, how can, you know, what resources are available to really support HR professionals, or what sort of advice would you give them now if they really want to take time to look into this and be up to best practice?
Yes, so we have a number of resources here across the organisation. So we have healthcare teams. We have a programme called CARU that actually supports staff in nursing homes. And we have hospice-friendly hospitals that support hospital staff. So it's not just myself, obviously, in terms of even the workplace setting. But also we have the bereavement support line, which is such an important resource. And you can get in touch with myself or any HR staff, and we can send you out little business cards and bookmarks. And you can give that to your staff, because it's a confidential space for people to call and talk about their bereavement or their grief, because sometimes you just need that listening ear outside of your immediate kind of networks, you know, when you feel you just need a confidential space, someone you don't know, and they're really well-trained, brilliant volunteers who are so kind. So we also then have capacity building initiatives in terms of grief in the workplace. So we have training either face-to-face, and we have a training for managers, employees, and within the next month, we'll have the HR one finalised, which has the added policy and governance pieces in it. And then we also have a talk on professional grief and a training with professional grief. So those who are dealing with grief as part of their work. We also have e-learning courses where you can learn about how to develop a bereavement policy. And just one more thing, we have a guide called, which is supporting workplaces when either a colleague dies by suicide or a colleague loses a family member by suicide. And the content in that was produced with IBEC and the National Office of Suicide Prevention, and has case studies in it of real lived experience. And it really helps organisations plan ahead, because mm-hmm. we hope that this never happens. But if something traumatic happens, it's so important to have a plan plan in place, you know, and to have that there so that in chaotic times you have you as a manager or HR professional might know the person, you know, so you might be feeling emotional. So actually having something concrete in place.
So important. You don't realize you need these things until the crisis happens. So it's almost being pre, you know, you're planning ahead, as you said. The other thing you do is a lunch and learn, which I think the Irish Hospice Foundation do so well. And lunch and learn is a very positive thing that the workplace can kind of encourage their employees maybe to join things like that as well. So there's lots of different ways that a work and employment can kind of look at this, if because it's not going to be one that you'll get it all in one sitting. There's various different areas that you might want one for your managers, maybe one for the employees, and even just getting the guidelines and policies in place. It's a big piece of work.
And you can also do a webinar and a talk or a lunch and learn if you just want to introduce your staff to this first. And that can be a nice segue into maybe offering workshops later on. And I think that's really important to recognize also that the topic, it can be a difficult topic. You know, I will go into workplaces and of course people will become upset because you're talking about the things that are so close to home. But we acknowledge that within the workshop. We know that even if you're a HR staff member coming to this, you're coming with your own experiences. Mm-hmm. And so we use an adult learning approach, you know, that like learning by experiences and through interaction as well. And also to say as well, a really important thing to recognize is that HR staff managers, they themselves are in support positions. But they have to also look after themselves. So if you're going through something difficult, are you the right person then if there's an incident in the workplace to be dealing with, say, calling other employees and letting them know about the incident or the loss of someone else? So it's really about that self-care piece and boundary setting as well. And we're not asking everyone to be grief counsellors here, but that just education and awareness is so important.
And the peer support within your work community, that the culture is of peer support. So it's OK to say, I can't do this right now because I'm dealing with my own loss. And you might not want to share that with your company, but just that as a kind of a benevolent, loving environment, that you feel there is somebody in your workplace that's quite empathetic. And that's the culture of the place, that we are very sensitive to grief and loss. Yeah. And we will kind of walk you through that. And I think this is something I'd love to maybe chat to you again when we can really delve into the research piece. But for many people, just your final little bit of advice around really accommodating the grieving employee and maybe honouring the person who's passed away. Have you any ideas that you might suggest that they can kind of think of if they want to, as a work community, honour that person?
So, you know, just the kind of last bit of advice about accommodating an employee is have a return to work process in place. Similarly, that you would do under the reasonable accommodation process for, you know, people with physical or mental health illnesses or disabilities. You know, what is the best practice we want for our employees when they return to work? Having your policy in place and then building up awareness and education. And finally, the culture piece is so important. And we've spoken a lot about that today. And I suppose just to say as well, we had a training recently and somebody said, God, it's so important to get this right. Like, everybody is a somebody. And the very worst thing that could happen is that we lose people either in our workplace or outside of it, and it's not acknowledged because it's such a significant life event. And so like that, if, you know, having a space maybe annually for a remembrance event to remember our colleagues before us, maybe naming something after them or having a plaque if that's what you want to do. We have lovely little kind of sunflowers that we send out with different petals, and you can write something nice about the person who's gone on it. I wouldn't say doing that. I would say give it time before you do that. You know, you might visit that in 3 months or 6 months. And another thing is, in the immediate aftermath of a death, you don't necessarily rush to get training in. That should be part of your annual program. First, you're offering support, you know. So I hope that answers your question. And one of the things we always say is you only get one chance to get it right. So, you know, in terms of actually dealing with the death of a colleague, I think that's a really important message. Like, let's show everyone they matter. And that really builds up morale in the workplace, you know,
That's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as you're talking, I'm very aware that the Irish Hospice Foundation is a charity, and they wouldn't be able to do this incredible work if it wasn't for the generous support of people supporting the charity. So even something, instead of maybe sending Christmas cards, or they might want to do a summer project and donate some money to kind of honour that the Irish Hospice Foundation is a charity that they support. Mm-hmm. Because they really think the work that you do is so important. Even that sort of culture piece can be another way just to honour somebody. Because I think
exactly.
It's important to show that.
Yes, and we have, obviously, we are a charity. So, you know, and we're continuing to grow, but we get so many generous donations in on our fundraising team, but also we have a corporate fundraising opportunity. So if you're a workplace that really wants to show your employees you take this seriously, maybe there's a corporate sponsorship opportunity, you know, and like you said, any donations, like, we appreciate that so much. And then some of our programs are funded by the HSE as well. And that allows for us to be able to deliver what we deliver. So if people ever want to do that, they can either go onto our website or get in touch with myself.
And you might give your details out, Amy, because if anybody wants to contact you, you're the person within the Irish Hospice Foundation who's has all of the details on the supports.
Yeah, so my email address is amy.gibney@hospicefoundation.ie. But the best thing to do is to Google grief at work, and our website will come up and my contact information. And again, even if they ring the general number, you'll get through to my lovely colleague, Rachel, and she will pass the call over to me. And I'm always happy to take a call, you know, especially if you need advice in the aftermath of something, and just to talk through and to build your confidence around it. My door is always open.
Amy Gibney from the Irish Hospice Foundation, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It was really wonderful to have this opportunity. So, and it's been so lovely working with you on this. So thank you.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.